Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are online. Thank you for that beautiful prayer, so I don't have to do anything like that now. Yeah, we share the burden. We have to all be part of doing the work. Today will basically be an introduction to some of the future things that I will be sharing, but in principle, what we will be teaching is the journey that we have as sons of God with our Heavenly Father, which is modeled in the earth by our journey with spiritual fathers in the earth. Because none of you can show me the Father anyway physically, can you? No. But He lives in us and through us. But we have to have men and women of God who can model the Father to us, who have become in their own rights fathers of the faith. And that is what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, for instance. He says that there are not enough fathers. So, by way of introduction, let's go and take a look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And you know I read from the Amplified, but your Bible's good enough, so. 1 Corinthians 4 from verse 14. I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. Paul labored and earned the title father. Remember, after he met the Lord, he spent 14 years in the deserts of Arabia, and there God was busy with him, and that's where he was matured into a father. But also in his writings we see that there's a maturation process that takes place, and in different places we see that he speaks of his children, which means he must have had the position of father, but it was not something that he called himself. It's not something that, okay, we make you a father. You know, we lay hands on you, now you're a father. This is not like that. This is not the thing that you learn in Bible school. This cannot be learnt in Bible school. Brother Kenneth and Gloria can't teach you this. The director Christine cannot teach you this. This is something you have to walk. You have to walk it. It is a maturation process. It is a process that the Spirit of God works in you. Because at the end of the day, we want to look like our Father. That is His purpose. From before the foundation of the earth, His whole purpose was to have sons in the earth who are His ambassadors and His representatives, who would look like Him, who would act like Him, who would speak like Him. But we don't start off as mature sons. As we saw in the Garden of Eden, they were not mature. That is why there was a fall. If they were spiritually mature, that thing wouldn't have happened. However, we see in Scripture that Jesus Christ was crucified from before the foundation of the earth. So our Father in heaven, because He's a Father, He has a Father heart, He foresaw already into the future. And so He made preparation. So He sent Himself in His Son, and Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. But who lives in you? The Son. But do people see the Father when they look at us? And this is not an accusation. There are lots of scripture that prove to us that we need to grow from children to young men to sons to fathers. And so, this process I call a journey with a spiritual father, which means you need to be connected to a spiritual father. And we can discuss that, and some of it will come up as we go along. But you need to journey with a spiritual father who will model the Father to you and will teach you how to hear Father's voice for yourself. That's my job. I've had the privilege of having a spiritual father for 35 years. I am the product today of that. And I can hear the Father's voice not just any voice. We go around churches, and some of you may travel around, I know that you do, and we meet leaders in the body of Christ who unfortunately don't always hear the Father's voice. And this is a serious thing that I'm saying. God is wanting a mature church. He is shaking the church of all those frivolous things, of all the childish things, so that we can become mature sons. And you cannot be a son unless you have a father. But you can also not be a father unless you have first been a son. It's obvious. Those of you that have children, if you've ever grown up in a household, you didn't become the mother and the father in the house. Okay, let's go to our scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 from verse 14. I do not write this to shame you, but to warn and counsel you as my beloved children. After all, though you should have 10,000 teachers in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. The King James says it's slightly different, but it's basically saying you have many teachers, but not many fathers. That word teachers there comes from a word called pedagogos. It's not some insect, and I don't know that my pronunciation is correct, absolutely correct. But it means, in a sense, childminder. We've all had childminders. You've all done the journey, just like Annika and I have. We have gone to a church for a year or two, and then I've grown a little bit, and then something's driving me around. And we've gone on this journey. What we've had childminders. We've had teachers in our lives that have been used by God to get us to the place where we can connect permanently to a spiritual father. Hear what I'm saying. There has to be a place of permanence in our lives where we connect to a spiritual father who is going to duplicate himself in us, and as who is going to walk with us until our ministry and until our life becomes greater than his. That's my purpose. Annika and I say to our spiritual sons in our congregation that one day we would like to see that they will do greater things than us. Now Jesus said that we will do greater things than him. And we have taken that, and it's not wrong, we have taken that and said, yes, we're going to do powerful miracles and so on, and we will actually preach the gospel and people will be born again, because under the old covenant which Jesus ministered under, people didn't really get born again because the Spirit was only released after the crucifixion. However, there's something else here. How many of you with children want them to perform better, achieve better, have and live greater lives than you? All of us. All of us. My purpose in life is to take those whom He has entrusted to me, duplicate myself in them, duplicate the Christ that is within me, impart the Christ, call the Christ forth that is within them. Remember, they are a word out of the mouth of God, and they've got to come into the fullness of being that word. And become greater than me, and do greater things than me. That's a father speaking. If you've seen Jesus, you have seen the Father. Although you should have 10,000 teachers, although you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, you do not have many fathers. Pedagogos, childminder. In the old times, olden days, in those days in the Greek and Roman empires and so on, what they had, and if you could get a nice job like that, if you were 14, 15 and 16, you were looking for a nice job that could catapult you into a better future. So what you did is you went to some, as we would say, Lani homes, middle class, upper class, wealthy homes, and you would apply for a job as a childminder. What you would do then is you would go fetch them from school, bring them home safely, sit with them and see that they do their homework, etc., etc., feed them and do whatever until mommy and daddy comes home from work. However, it did not mean that you could teach them the subjects that they were studying. When they were doing the homework, you may, you know, reading, writing, arithmetic, that's maybe what you will know a little bit of. But you were not an expert on those topics which the children would be studying. You were just watching to see that they could do it. And the little bit that you did know that could help them, you would help them with.
We call it in South Africa au pair.
Au pair. In a sense, it's an au pair, yes. Once I've gotten to a certain age, I wouldn't do that job anymore and I would move on. So I would be temporary in that job. I would do that job for what I can get from it, actually, for the pay. And if I was with a very good family, I would get a very good reference. And so I use that to actually create a career for myself. Now, we can read all sorts of stuff into that, and I'm not making accusations at the church or anything, or leaders or anything. What I am saying is, we've had men and women of God who were there temporarily by the will of God to lead us and guide us on a certain journey, because we are on a sojourn. We are walking a walk until that place where we come to maturity. And so, I remember there was many years ago, there was a time we were in different churches just about every 6 months. We just couldn't find that connection. And the interesting thing is, we had a spiritual father. What had happened from our side, we didn't make the connection with our spiritual father accurately. So we were not leaning from him. We were not accessing his grace. We were not sitting really at his feet and learning about Father from him. So, we'll get to all of that. I see some questions and so on. We'll get there. Although you have many teachers, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the glad tidings. I can tell you this thing. With this teaching, with this word, there's a grace that will come into your life, and it's going to cause a little bit of movement inside you, and it'll cause movement in your natural situation. Because you're going to have to re-look at how you are connecting spiritually. But we will discuss this. We can discuss this one-on-one and so on. What I'm going to do with this teaching, I'm just going to give you the word. But the practical application, we can discuss. Verse 16, so I urge and implore you, be imitators of me. You see, to say to somebody, be an imitator of me, there's got to be an intimate relationship, not just a passing relationship. And also, not a relationship where your so-called spiritual father is standing up in the front there and you know his name or her name, but it takes you 3 weeks to get an appointment. Some of what I'm saying is going to shake you. It's going to shake your concept of how church should function. Because you should be able to connect with the spiritual father by just picking up the phone. And if it's really, you know, Dad, the dog ate the cat and the cat ate the budgie and, you know, I've got problems. Not 3 weeks. We've been in that. God showed us in that there's a system of church. And I'm not saying the whole church is that way, but I'm saying there's a system of church which has caused us to be spiritual orphans. And so we've grown to a certain point, and this is one of the reasons why we move from church to church. I don't believe it was ever God's idea. Because in a natural family, if your children came to you and said to you, you know what, I'm tired of you, I can't grow here anymore, I'm going to live next door now.
Give them a smack.
You're not allowed to smack anymore.
Smack
their bombs. Good, good. We're in agreement about that. Do you understand what I'm saying? What God's desire originally was for a family in the earth that would be in direct contact with him, would model what was going on with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three of them. They're a family. But before anything existed, it was just them. Nothing had been created. They were standing on the edge of nothing, looking at nothing. But God, being who he is, he couldn't help himself. So you see now, rediscovering the kingdom is coming in here.
Yeah.
Just by the way, and I may have asked this question before. The fact that God created, does that make him the creator? Come on, yes. Family.
Yeah. Yes.
Does that make him the creator?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm going to disappoint you. It does not make him the creator. He was already creator. And because he already was creator in the essence of his being, he couldn't help himself. It just came out of him. That day that he spoke everything into existence. He was already creator. That's why you and I have this urge all the time to do something, to create something, to be something. You're not something because you did something. You are that already by nature. God is creator by nature. And so he wanted this family. Because within himself there was this urge, this thing. I have to have somebody who I can look at and see myself in.
That's why we always want to recreate, and therefore people want to have children. And
yeah.
They feel miserable if they do not have
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. We are just imitating the Father and what is in us already.
Amen. Verse 17. For this very cause, I sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, who will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and course of conduct and way of life in Christ, such as I teach everywhere in each of the churches. So what was Timothy? Timothy came out of Paul's heart in a sense, because he spent all the time with him. He spent time with him. They ate together. They slept together. They walked together. They did everything together. And Timothy served him. And something happens. It's the same with Elijah and Elisha. It's the same with Moses and Aaron. And again, to talk about Paul. Paul had Timothy. He also had Titus. He also had Onesimus. Also had Aquila and Priscilla, and so forth and so forth. He said, be an imitator of me as I am an imitator of the Father. So he says here, for this very cause, I sent you Timothy. I mean, if we now look back, he's saying here, although you have many teachers, you do not have many fathers. So I became your father in the faith. So I urge and implore you, be imitators of me. For this very cause I sent to you Timothy. What is he saying? He says, if you see Timothy, you've seen me. What did Jesus say? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So if you've seen Timothy, if you spend time with Timothy, you would have seen Papa Paul.
Yeah. Amen.
Uh-huh. If you meet our spiritual father, you'll immediately make the connection. Say, oh, but, oh, okay. Do you like him? Do you remember when you were saved? I remember when Theo Wormerans came up from Durban and he started a little fellowship in a place just about twice the size of this room. We all were talking like him. We all had the same hand gestures. We copied the same prayers, because those prayers did miracles and all of that. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. And then Theo got hold of some of Ken and Gloria's stuff, and so he started telling the same jokes and started getting some of the accent. So guess what? We got Ken and Gloria. So guess what? We were telling the same jokes. We had the same accents. And he was talking about oil, not oil, oil. You know, I'm still trying to get my mouth around that one. But we were all trying. You imitate the Father. That's what we were doing. And so, Paul says, when you have that, when you see my son, you've seen me. Everything that I am, I've put into my son. So, this series of teachings is about our journey with our Father to get to that place of maturity where we move from son to father. Because you don't overnight become. We can listen to all of Ken and Gloria's CDs and stuff. You can listen to that 24 hours a day if you want. It will not make you a father. it'll impart certain things into you, but you will be responsible to take that teaching and cause it to grow you into a father. This does not come by reciting, confessing, etc. Doesn't. This is a growth process that has to happen. You can't get away from it. There is no instant in this. As much as we would like, as much as I would have liked it, I mean, I never forget, I took some of Kenneth's teachings and was about spiritual maturity that he was sharing, and I wrote out a confession that in 2 years I will be spiritually mature. And that was about 1981 or something. I can show it to you. I've got it in a book. God must have just smiled, because then he grabbed me by the scruff of the neck and we went into the wilderness. And he said, I'm going to reveal myself to you now. And thank God for that. Because in a sense, I was so full of myself, thinking that, wow, you know, I can just get there if I say it enough times. And please, I'm not saying confession and that stuff doesn't work. But you know, you know how powerful it is when you come to a place of maturity and you're not just speaking the thing anymore. It is what you are.
Amen. Amen.
When you walk into a place, remember I shared that last time, you're a word out of the mouth of God. When you walk into a place, you don't even have to open your mouth. You are the light of the world. Jesus said that. He's also the light of the world. But you are the body of Christ. You are the manifestation of Christ in the earth. So when you walk into a place, guess what happens? You don't have to have a deliverance ministry or something like that. In any case, there is no such thing in the Bible. Deliverance happens when the light walks in, if deliverance
Amen.
Is necessary.
Amen.
You and the Word become so one. That when the Word walks in, things just become free. There's light that happens. But people just get set free. You don't have to dig for stuff. You don't have to do all sorts of things. They just become free. So how did this happen? Since you've been here, I'm free. Tell me more about this. Well, now, well, I'm in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. I've heard of that. Is that the Jehovah's Witness kingdom? No. This is a proper kingdom. But we have to get to that place of maturity. But we will not do that on our own. The time of the one-man show is over. God used that for a season to model to us certain things. But even the father of this ministry, you see what's happening? It's a family ministry. It blesses me totally, because they have done their job as a mother and a father, and look at the leadership of Kenneth Copeland Ministries worldwide, but specifically in Fort Worth. The entire family is involved. Now that is the correct model. That's how it should be. They've modeled it. And do you think everything went perfectly? No, if you've known them, I mean, we don't know them personally, I've met them and so on, but you know, if you've watched for the last 35 years, you've watched the ministry, they've had their challenges. They've had the challenges in the family and so on. Does that make them second rate or anything? No. They're in good company. Because Father Paul planted a whole lot of churches who all closed down. So much for his ministry. No, not so much for his ministry. There are precious truths in that. What we do see out of Paul's life is not so much the churches that he planted, is the sons that he produced. Their lives speak to us. And in that is modeled the heart of the Father. So, for this very cause I sent you Timothy, who is my beloved and trustworthy child in the Lord, who will recall to your minds my methods of proceeding and course, my way of life, such as I teach everywhere else. So he was like Paul. Why is God doing this? Why is he bringing this truth about fathers and sons and a journey with the spiritual father? Because he wants to mature us. We talk about maturity, but it has to be modeled in front of us. It has to be modeled. It's one thing to go to church, and we've all had that experience, but there's no real interaction with a mature person, because everybody that sits in the church, they're basically all at the same level. I've been in home cell meetings where we are more mature, way more mature than the home cell leaders, and I'm not trying to belittle that, because that was the system in the church. And so if you want to grow up in the system of church and become part of the hierarchy and authority, then you've got to start at the bottom. You do the faith foundation thing, and then you do this training, and then you do that, and you become a home cell leader, and then you become a super home cell leader, and then you become a uber super home cell leader, and then you become a zone leader, and then you become a super zone leader. I think you get what I think of the system of church. Yeah. Now, please don't take it as a negative thing. If you're a home cell leader, do the best you can. Manifest the kingdom of God and learn what you can. But there's something in the system of church that stifles growth. And you're going to see, watch, next 5 to 10 years, many churches will close down in South Africa. They already are. Some of them are being turned into mosques as we speak, which is a very sad thing. I can take you to the street address. I can show you. Churches are being bought up, and the building's already there. So they just put some spires on it and put the fancy writing on it and do whatever they need to do. It's a serious statement against the church if that is happening, because it means we are busy with religion. And that's subject for another teaching. But God is restoring fathers and sons. And so if we look back Old Testament, Genesis, what was it about in Genesis 1? It was the father and his son, Adam. The whole of the Old Testament is about the father. Whole of the New Testament is about the son. And just like me, you've also wondered, why do the Gospels have here, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so was so-and-so's father, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and they go through the whole thing, and then it ends up in it saying, and Adam's father was God. Why do you think it's there? Very simple. Because God is interested in fathers and sons. Remember in the Old Testament, the blessing was passed on by the laying on of hands. When the father would be lying half dead on the bed there, where's my son? Bring him. Bless him. But how is it passed on today? By impartation, but by being connected to a spiritual father who opens your eyes and your ears to hear the heavenly father so that you can walk in that same blessing. Because in Christ, you have that inheritance. But how many of you, right from the start, walked in a perfect inheritance that he has for you? And how many of you are in the fullness of the inheritance? Nobody in this room. We are still moving towards the fullness of the inheritance. Because if we really had the fullness of the inheritance, we would be dominating.
Excuse me, I'm close. To
you're close. Yeah, but you're just about perfect. If we were really correctly and accurately lined up where we should be as the church, a lot of the things in our nation wouldn't be happening. And I said this before. The government is doing certain things because the government is looking at the situation and saying, okay, we better do something. And so in one hand we complain because we're getting taxed here and toll fees there and all of that stuff. Why is the government doing something? Well, somebody's got to do something. Are they doing it perfectly? No. But somebody's got to do it. As unhappy as we may be about certain things. Why is the government doing certain things? Because the church is not doing it. The government's job is not to look after our old people. It's our job. The government's job is not to provide jobs. It's our job to raise up businesses, ethical businesses, to become millionaires, to employ people that can generate more capital so we can all stand together and go to the local authority and say, okay, what do you want us to do? We see the roads are falling apart on that side. We have the means to do that. Give us the permission. Although the roads would be the government's responsibility. But we should be in a place where we can start dictating certain things and do the original mandate of God, which is to dominate the earth. That's our job. But we are being dominated. And so governments are coming into power, and what are they doing? They're saying, well, you know, that hasn't worked, and this hasn't worked, and so-and-so hasn't worked, and so now the church has to comply to a whole lot of rules. 10, 15, 20 years ago, it was easy to register a ministry or church in this country. It's not that easy anymore because there's been dishonesty in the church. People have run off with the money. So they say, okay, you people have been a loud mouth and saying how wonderful you are. We see you're not that wonderful. We're going to have to do something about it. Why is all of this happening? Because there are no fathers in our nation that can speak with wisdom. Remember how nice it was for you to go to Oma and Opa? Because there was just something when you would sit with them, they would speak things into your life, just in one sentence, and it would just make your whole day. Because through their life's experience, through their experience with God, they could just discern you. They could just understand you. And they could just speak into your life. There is a lack of that in the church, and there is a lack of that in our government. There are no fathers with wisdom. Well, I won't say there are no fathers. There are fathers, but there are not enough fathers. And so, God is looking for fathers who know Him, whom He can then place in specific positions, whether it be economically, whether it be in government, wherever, whatever sphere of society is necessary. The media. I mean, the media. I mean, it just runs rampant. I mean, it dishes up the biggest load of rubbish. Why? Because there are no people with wisdom that understand certain things are not good for us and our children. There's fathers that need to be there. There needs to be fathers with a newspaper industry. And so we can go on and on and on. And so God wants us to line up accurately. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. There is a process that you and I have to go through. If you are a believer and you receive the word of God into your heart, that word will change you. That word will burn you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. He will burn out of you everything that does not look like Christ until. And it may take a lifetime. The sooner that we yield and give in to that, the better for us. Let's read Hebrews 5 from verse 7. Hebrews 5. Sorry, did I say 4?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hebrews 5 from verse 7. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up definite special petitions for that which He not only wanted but needed, and supplications with strong crying and tears to Him who was always able to save Him out from death, and He was heard because of His reverence towards God. Verse 8, this knocked me sideways when I read it the first time. I had read it, but the Lord revealed it to me. Although He was a son, the son is with a capital S, right? He learned, the Amplified says, active, special obedience through what He suffered. That's not talking about the cross. Because to learn obedience on the cross is a little bit late, I would say. Than to try and apply it. He learned active special obedience through what He suffered. Now the previous verse said, in the days of His flesh, when He was here on earth. Before He manifested as the Son of God, who was He? It says He was the Son of Man. He was the carpenter's son. Nowhere does it say, well, this is the Son of God. We know that He's the Son of God because we've got the book. We can look back. In those 30 years before He went into ministry, where did He work? He worked in His father's carpenter shop. So what did he have? He had a father. That father modeled something to him. Because we look today. If you look at children that are rebellious and running around and throwing tantrums in the shop, do you then know that the parents are out of line? Of course. The children reflect the parents. It's just like that. When we, Anika and I, when we counsel families or husbands and wives and so on, the first thing we do is we look at the children. It's just a simple rule of thumb. And you can see when children are just innocently naughty or, you know, just messing around. But you can see when children are out of line. They scream and they rant and they rave and they got to climb all over you all the time and etc. There's something wrong in that household. Yeah. So Joseph and Mary must have been very special people because God handpicked them for Jesus to raise him in that time. And like any good Jewish boy, he worked in his father's shop. And he learned to work with the money. Yes, a very important thing, because at least 50% of the Gospels, he talks about money. And he discerns the Sadducees and the Pharisees, the impure motives of their hearts. How did he do that? Because they used to come and bargain with him in the shop. You know, make me those 6 chairs and then maybe you can throw in one on the side for me. He checked them out. And they did not know who he was until the time. And we know what happened. Jesus, when the time was right, because you become a man, the fullness of being a man, when you're 30 in the Jewish tradition. So he went to the river, and he was baptized by John the Baptist. And that's a whole thing that we'll still hopefully get into. But only then did he receive his identity as the Son of God. He was the Son of God all the time. But then it was publicly announced by his father. Says, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased." Why? Because he had walked the 30 years and he learned obedience. 20 minuten. Then he manifested as the Son of God. And guess what? It was so wonderful to be a son of God. Straight away, the Holy Spirit leads him into the desert to be what? To be tempted by the devil. Interesting, isn't it? Let's read on. I'm just throwing these little things in here because there's so much. But what I want you to go and do is pray about this. Go hear what Father is saying to you. Because you will grow like you've never grown before. Verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. 9, and the Amplified says, his completed experience made him perfect. Now that perfect means to equip him. Made him perfect, but also means to equip him. To equip him for what? To be the Son of God. Remember, to those who believe, he gave the power to become sons of God. You have the power to become a son of God. But you don't just arrive. Positionally in Christ, you are a son of God. But you grow into the fullness of sonship. There's no instant. No instant here. His completed experience made him perfect and equipped him. And he became the author and the source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey him. And here we are. Being designated and recognized and saluted by God as high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Concerning this, we have much to say, which is hard to explain, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk, not solid food. The reason why you need to journey with the spiritual father is to be weaned off milk. And so Paul is saying, and he's talking in the context of growth and maturity and so on, that we are not growing because we are still drinking milk. Now who gives you milk? Mommy. As wonderful and as beautiful as it is for mommy to raise us In the Jewish tradition, when you're 13, you have a bar mitzvah. And you are loosened from mommy's care and you are taken to dad. And you start working in the shop, or if you're a lawyer or whatever it is, or if he's a lawyer, you start working in the lawyer's firm, and so you start growing. You disconnect. But because we've been inaccurate in the church in certain ways, we've still been drinking milk. And so we do not grow. We do not become fully mature sons. Even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the first principles. Verse 13, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness. That is, the conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. In fact, he's a mere infant. He's not able to talk yet. Now, the director here can speak German. So she knows about being mundig und unmundig. In Afrikaans, mondig of onmondig. When you turn 21, you become mondig. What's the English for that? Come of age. You come of age. Up until 21, you cannot speak for yourself. You cannot sign a document or anything like that. Correct? So, your mouth has to come with you, who's mom or dad, and they have to sign on your behalf. So, you're unmundig. You're onmondig. You don't have a mouth to speak. You're not allowed to speak. You have to have somebody else to come and speak for you. But when you grow up and mature, you're allowed to open your mouth. And you can speak for yourself. That's what a spiritual father will do for you. He will give you identity. Now remember, Father God gave Jesus identity, and that from that day on he was the Son of God. He was always the Son of God, but he was called that. It was physically spoken out. You and I need to have somebody who walks with us, who speaks into our lives, teaches us everything, teaches us how to hear the voice of God, and then starts speaking and saying, you're a son. You're my son, but I'm starting to see that you're God's son. I'm starting to see sonship, the sonship with the Father is starting to come. You need somebody to call that forth. Just like the Father in heaven saw Jesus, was faithful for that time. He suffered, he learned obedience and so forth. God gives us spiritual children, or we are spiritual fathers to spiritual children. And so we walk that journey until the time comes and say, son, are you ready to leave home? Because you are now a son. But more than that, you are now a father who can have sons. Have you never wondered why in certain churches and ministries there's a whole lot of immaturity? Because possibly there are not enough fathers in that ministry. And so what are they doing? They modeling after themselves, they reproducing after themselves. If they are still unmundig, what are they producing? Unmundig children. So how can they speak? How can they stand on their own two feet? How many times have you seen churches split for no rhyme and reason? And then the church that goes away, and the one that stays behind, 2-3 years down the line, it splits again. Or the one that's split off just folds up. A whole lot of people get hurt. Why? Unmundig. Has not yet come to that place of fatherhood. The reason why they split in the first place is because they had an orphan mentality. They didn't honor the father of the house who said, you're not ready yet to go and start. Well, if you don't release me, I have a ministry. I know God told me when I was 3 years old. Well, we don't dispute that. But did you not hear the part where he said, you will have to walk into a place of maturity until? If you understand these principles, you can understand why things go wrong in the church. And there's not one in this room that has never been touched by that. And
Split church.
No. I'm not talking about a split church, but we've seen. But we have seen. We've seen the hurts, the church politics that go on. Yeah, the vying for position. The only place where people vie for position is in an orphanage or what do you call it, a hostel or something like that. I remember when I was young, there were lots of kids. The parents were very busy. They were working hard, so they would send the boys and the girls off to what courses. Boarding school, not hostel, boarding school. And you know what they would say? If you sat at the table at lunchtime or breakfast, you better not close your eyes when they pray. Because if you open your... Yeah, because if you open your plate, there's no more food. And if mommy and daddy sent you a parcel of cookies or something like that, guess what? You never saw it because the older boys or the older girls, they ate that. And there was this vying spirit which should not be in a household. There should not be that in a household. But we have that in our household. In our church household, we have that. People vying for position. Let me tell you something, and you can ask that director over there. It is not so wonderful to be in such a position. I remember I was talking to one of our sons. He took me for breakfast on Saturday. And I said, you know what, 25 years ago, yes, Lord, send us anywhere in the world. We will go and preach. We want the crowds. And we got the crowds and all of that. And then God started dealing with us. And then as we mature, we understand, you know what, the responsibility is so tremendous. Because it's matters of life and death. And then I started understanding. I said, Lord, you know what? I said, send me. But, you know, just, I you know, the boy is not, he's not worth it. And thank God I have a wonderful wife who also said to me, Jan, she didn't tell me I wasn't worth it, but she said, listen, you need to sit back. And so the Lord has tempered a lot of that fire. I have the fire. But let me tell you something. I only release it when it's necessary. Because I've seen what the fire can do. The fire can heal people. It can bless people, but it can also destroy people. You have in your mouth the power of death and life. That's why I say, listen carefully to what I'm saying today. It'll change your life. It'll give you discernment beyond what you could ever understand. Okay, we were saying we're moving from infants. He says if we're drinking milk, we are not really being fathered. Verse 14, Hebrews 5, but solid food is for full grown men. Now it doesn't matter if you're a lady, before God, you're a son. You're a son of God. You are in a lady's body because that's the role he has for you. On the earth, that's a plan he has for you. I'm in a male body because he has a certain role for me. But I'm a son just as much as you're a son. So, solid food is for full-grown men. For those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice. Where do you practice? You practice under supervision. I was trained as a pilot to fly military jets. And let me tell you something. The first 6 months, year, 18 months... is done under full supervision. If I didn't have that, I wouldn't be standing here today. I'd be talking to you from under the ground. Under full supervision. And what those flying instructors did, they duplicated themselves in me. I had to do it exactly like them. Exactly. There was no second measure or, okay, now well, 1 foot out on the altitude. No. They demanded total excellence. In the old Harvards, I don't know how many of you know the old aeroplanes, those old noisy things. The instructor would sit in the back and the control stick could come out. They pull a pin out. For when you fly alone, they take it out so that it doesn't get entangled and, you know, then you can't control from the front. So they take it out. So instructor gets so fed up with you, he takes it out and he would hit you on the head on the back of the helmet. Now you could see the guys who were struggling. All the paint was off the back of their helmets. But they demanded excellence. They demanded absolute excellence. So we are trained by practice to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is evil and contrary either to divine or human law. Now, chapter 6. Therefore, let us go on. How can we go on if we are still messing around with baby stuff? Well, I prophesied better than you. How did you hear that prophecy from Christine last night, you know? Yeah, that last sentence was good, but the rest? None of us here have either been in something like that or said something like that. Be real, we're family. We hear these things. We sit in church. We sit in meetings. And then things come out. And then we think, that doesn't feel right. It doesn't gel here. But what do? we just, okay, that's the status quo. God doesn't want that anymore. He wants accuracy. When we open our mouths, when we do something, when we conduct ourselves, whatever it is, it's got to be accurate. There's got to be no question marks about that. No more competition. Well, he's laying hands on people and they're getting healed. Oh, you know, why is God not doing that with me? None of us here have ever wondered that. Why is God hearing their prayers? Therefore, let us go on and get past the elementary stage. You hearing this? Let us get past the elementary stage in the teachings and the doctrine of Christ. There is an elementary stage. When we are still infants, when we are unmündig, we can't yet speak, but we try and speak and we speak rubbish. Just a quick testimony, it's not my testimony. We all know Benny Hinn. We all know Benny Hinn? He's got a brother, William Hinn, who ministers into South Africa often, and we've had the privilege to sit under him, and maybe at some time we can release some of his material to you. He had been in the ministry how long? He had served under Benny, I don't know, 7 years or longer. And then the Lord spoke to him and he was released to start his own ministry. And he was ministering somewhere. And he'd been full-time in the ministry for a number of years. And he was doing what I was doing. He was ministering in somebody's ministry or their church. And as he was halfway through his sermon, the voice of the Lord, he heard it audibly. The Lord said, "You have no clue what you're talking about."
Sure.
He quit right there for 2 years. 2 years. Day and night, he spent time in the Word. He said, "Okay, you say, I don't know what I'm talking about. I want to know."
Sure.
Yeah. If you hear what the man teaches, it's powerful stuff. But he was man enough not to stand there and, "Yes, Lord, but you know what?" Whatever. He stopped in the middle of the sermon. He closed his Bible. He said to the pastor who invited him, he said, "God just spoke to me and said, I don't know what I'm talking about, so I shouldn't speak to you people anymore because I don't know what I'm talking about." Took his wife and they walked out of the church. Now that takes a man. But if you see the ministry today, it's powerful. But he needed to move on from the elementary stage in the teachings and doctrine of Christ, advancing steadily towards the completeness and perfection that belongs to spiritual maturity. Let us not again be laying the foundation of repentance from dead works. Does it mean we don't repent anymore? No, of course. But if we're starting to walk accurately, to repent will happen less and less. Because your mind is being renewed. Your spirit is renewed day by day, as Paul says. You're becoming more and more like your Father. And it's not necessary to fall on your face every 5 minutes. "Oh Lord, I made a mistake." No. Repentance means to have a change of heart and mind. I mean, if you go somewhere with your car and you turn into the wrong street, do you climb out the car and fall on the ground and start crying and repenting and carrying on? No. You say, "Oops, I repent. I have a change of heart and mind. This is the wrong street. I should actually go there." You know, there's not a whole spiel about it. What do we do with God? God comes and says, "Okay, Anika, I want you to just change that." Oh, and we go on the whole thing. No, just have a change of heart and mind, because that's what a mature son does. We don't like it when our little children, when we correct them, what do they do sometimes? Man, they scream and they carry on and throw tantrums. Why? Because they've been found out. It's not because they want to be corrected. They actually enjoyed what they were doing. But they were found out. And what I've seen over years of ministry, more than 35 years of ministry, when we get found out, we get very emotional about it. You see, because we get found out. Our hearts are not right. But if we are starting to walk as a mature son, we are glad when we are found out. Because we've been walking in the error of our ways. We've been walking with certain paradigms. And so when a spiritual father is there, we've had that. Spiritual father speaks and he speaks sternly into our lives. No more of that. Yes, sir. The word says this If you have a problem with that thing again, you phone me. Now that is powerful. It's better in a way than having to run to my prayer closet every 5 minutes, and I sit with the problem for year in and year out, and I can't break through. And I've been, we counsel people, I've been praying for years about this problem. And I say, well, you know what? One word from God. One word from God will set you free. Come, let me tell you. Like that, they set free. Why didn't their prayers get answered? Because they asked amiss. They asked inaccurately. They didn't have a spiritual father to say, no, this is how you do it. This is how I will model it for you. Let us not again lay the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith. And faith is necessary. We have to have faith. It is faith that pleases God, but faith that works by love. And then he says, with teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, eternal judgment and punishments. Then the Amplified says this, these are all matters of which you should have been fully aware long, long ago. Twice it says, long, long ago. So all these things, you know, if you're not feeling well, well, Father, thank you. I mean, it's just a matter of course. It's not a whole, well, I'm going to... I remember when we just got saved and we realized we could lay hands on people, man. Oh, I sense the anointing in my fingers. Oh, you just wanted to lay your hands on every person. Remember that? Yeah, we were like children with a new toy, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we've got to get to the place, you know, where we walk in the fullness of who He is. And we say, okay, I'll lay hands on you so you can be healed. But there's a higher level. She walks, she should walk in divine health as a son of God. Amen. Uh-huh. Do we still lay hands on people? Yes, of course. There are people whose faith is not where our faith is. They may not even be saved. Jesus healed unsaved people. Don't have this, okay, there's no more time. Don't have this mentality that God only heals people that are saved. It's not true. He'll heal anybody. There's a concept in some churches, and we've had to correct it. You can only get healing if you're saved. Nuh-uh. You can only do so. I've seen Jesus do stuff. You see it in scripture. I mean, people just hear the word, they get baptized in the Holy Spirit, they get saved, the whole thing happens in one. He's God. You think He can do that if He wants to? Yes. So, verse 3 of chapter 6, if indeed God permits, we will now proceed to advanced teaching. That's where we are. He wants to move us on to advanced teaching. And one of those things is this journey that we will be sharing in the weeks to come. How to journey with the spiritual Father, how to access the grace, how to allow the Father in heaven to work through a spiritual Father and form Himself in us, so that in our own right, we become fully mature, that we are connected accurately in our families, that we become proper fathers in our families, so that our children are properly connected to us in the natural, so that proper fatherhood is modeled to our children in the natural, because that should be a reflection of our connection with our Heavenly Father. So, that was my introduction, and we will start getting into the real stuff next time. But I'm sure this has helped you, and I'm sure this has laid a good foundation for you, and has set you on the path. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that you and your word are one. And so you are busy working in our hearts and minds, and we know next time that we get together, we will already see an increase in the fruit in our lives. We will already start seeing the beginnings of that future harvest, that maturity, that place of perfection in you. We thank you for that, Father, and we thank you that you bless everyone. They are already blessed, but we thank you. As we become more and more accurate, we become more accurate to receive and walk in our inheritance. And we worship and thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Did you guys get something from this? Amen. Do you have any question for Reverend Young?
Yeah, you can ask questions. Obviously, you can ask questions.
If you want to ask questions, and if you don't agree, tell him you don't agree. This is not autocratic. This is.